This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. Great to be with you, everyone.
It seems like old news now, but our golf was about a month ago. And I just got to thinking, during the golf, we did a little live remote broadcast, and maybe people thought, well, that sounded really, really good, but never really heard just how it all came out. It did come out very, very well. Weather could have been a little better. It started off just plain cool and overcast, which was okay with everybody.
Then you got wet, Jim, didn't you?
Until it started to rain around 2 or 2:30, but golfers are tough. Golfers are tough, man. They were out there. They had about half of the course under their belt at that time, and nothing was going to keep those golfers from finishing.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we thought people were going to end early, and they didn't. I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, they toughed it out. They golfed the whole day, rain or shine, and it was mostly rain and cold. And in fact, some people were ordering blankets instead of drinks, you know, hot coffee. They weren't wanting water. They were wanting, you know, hot coffee, hot chocolate, and blankets. And so the beverage cart was running. We were running blankets out to people, weren't we, Jim?
Yeah, we were on beverage carts with ice cold beer, ice cold pop, and ice cold water, and being totally ignored. Yeah. No, that's not true. But I want to thank all the golfers who came out. We certainly couldn't do it without them. But all of the volunteers as well. That's a big, big undertaking for Catholic Huge. Radio. It does raise some much needed funds, so we appreciate that very, very much. And want to thank all of our volunteers and all of our golfers, all of our underwriters as well. We have a lot of businesses that step up to the plate, so to speak, and sponsor a hole or one of our contests there, different things like that. And also want to thank Marion Financial Partners, our gold level, kind of our signature underwriter for that event. So Brian Weiss and crew out there at Marion Financial Partners, thank you very much. And you know, we've been doing a series here on Catholic Radio about involving laity in the faith, or kind of bringing laity deeper into the faith, and just culturing them in the faith, I guess. And so we're kind of continuing with that theme today.
Yeah, and we are. It's always tough to pass on the faith, and I think, you know, as parents, grandparents, and you know, youth ministers, or you know, anyone that's working in faith formation, it's a challenge, and you're always trying to figure it out. And seems like the target's moving a little bit, you know, these days. But we have an expert in the studio with us in the house, right? We have Scott Williams. He actually has three titles. I'm going to give him three titles. He is founder of Sock Religious, which is a really cool Catholic sock company. We'll talk about
as in stockings,
as in, right, exactly. And then
the largest Catholic sock company in the world.
Whoa. Ooh. That's awesome.
I think it's the only one, but
hey, well, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
And Scott, you have been the former director for the Office of Youth Ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So mm-hmm. You are really astute at working with youth and supporting youth ministers across the Archdiocese. And so we're going to be really tapping you to help us understand some important ways, and I think we have five ways that parents can help pass on the faith. So that's going to be our topic. And actually, there you have a third title, which is you were a host here on Catholic Radio of The Last Pew.
Right, absolutely.
And that show was on Saturday mornings, and I loved that show. It seemed like I would always hear that show when I was going grocery shopping or running my errands, and I loved it. And there's I think there's about 150 or so podcasts up on our podcast mm-hmm. link. So if you go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and look for The Last Pew under podcast, you can listen to Scott. And I think it was Matt Faley, and who else was on that show?
We had a slew of different kind of guests and co-hosts that kind of rotated in and out just from the young adult community. So
you guys are the springtime of the church, right?
Yeah.
So rocking and rolling, right? Okay, so you have spent a good deal of time working with youth and young adults and youth mm-hmm. ministry and in various ways. I want you to talk a little bit about your background and what all
sure.
you've done, and maybe how long you were involved or are involved with that.
Yeah, so I when I graduated from from college. It was in the middle of the recession, so there wasn't a ton of jobs out there. So I went into the recession proof industry. I sold wine for a year. But that was not for me. I enjoyed sales. I enjoyed working in that environment. But I just wasn't fulfilled as much as I wanted to. And before that, I did a little bit of missionary work and became a little bit more involved in my faith. And I was never super involved as a teenager, but in college years and young adult years, I kind of got into it a little bit more. And then my pastor asked me if I would be willing to help out in youth ministry. And I thought to myself, I don't think I'm going to like this. I don't think I'm going to enjoy the opportunity. But I said yes, because really I didn't have a reason not to. I said, sure, I will give it a shot. I'll do this for 6 months and see how it goes, type of thing. Mm-hmm. I ended up loving it. I loved being on the journey with young people. It's about that walk, about that, accompaniment is the kind of the buzzword right now. And being on that journey with young people was something that was attractive to me. So ended up wanting to do it full time. I served 3 years as the coordinator of youth ministry at a parish on the south side of Indianapolis. And then went into some diocesan work doing the, it's called program coordinator. So put together all of the events and retreats and mission trips and all of the kind of the experience pieces. And then I was served as the director of youth ministry for the past few years.
So if you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Scott Williams. He is the founder of Sacrilegious and longtime worker with youth and young adults in the Office of Youth Ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And we're going to talk about five ways that parents and or grandparents, and I guess youth ministers too, can what they can do to pass on the faith. Really, we're focusing on parents. Mm. I mean, it really all starts at home, you know?
Yeah.
And you're a parent now, right?
I am. I have almost, he's about 1 year old.
Oh.
1 year old, singular.
Yay.
Well, walking yet?
He walks with fingers and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of support. He's about ready to walk away, but not quite there.
Your world's about to change.
Yeah,
that is such a milestone too. And really, you know, in our faith, I mean, you have to learn to walk before you can run. So actually, watching a child, you know, the son your age is I can't talk.
No,
your son's age is like so relevant to like spirituality, yeah. You know, and growing in your faith.
So we're making an analogy here, like you know,
it's true.
You have to help your children get to that next step, and you know, there's different ways that we do that. Like I helped my son. Learn how to crawl by, you know, making sure that he had a foundation where his foot was, you know, now that he's starting to walk a little bit, we give him some of the tools and the resources so that he can learn the motions and the practice, the steps. And you know, I'm helping my son in that way too. And one day he's going to be able to take those steps on his own.
And run away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or run away, then come back however it works out.
You know, that kind of raises the question of, would a baby ever learn to walk entirely on its own? I mean, if it were on a desert island somewhere and it was 1 year old or 6 months old and could somehow survive without parents, without nurturing, without somebody showing them, it'd be a different life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deep questions by Jim Hanley. That's a whole new segment, Jim. We're having fun, aren't we? Okay, so what can parents do? Give us the top five.
Yeah. You know,
where do we start?
I think, well, we're going to, I wrote down a list here, but
okay,
we're
going
to go in different orders,
okay,
whatever
sure,
it might be.
Sure.
You know, one thing that we hear a lot is that parents are the primary catechists of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not all parents feel like they're qualified. You know, they have the credentials, they know the answers to all of those different questions. I think maybe catechist isn't the best word to use, but one of my friends that also works in youth ministry, he says that that parents need to be the primary formators of their children. So taking that responsibility and realizing that the formation of your young people, your child, your children, ultimately is your responsibility. There's a lot of tools, there's a lot of resources that can help. But if you're not a part of that process at every step of the way, then there's going to be a disconnect. There's going to be pieces missing. And you know, if you're not going to be the people that are able to put those pieces together, who is? Somebody else is. The media is.
Someone's going to fill that gap.
Exactly.
And it may not be what you want them to.
Right, right.
May not even be Catholic, you know?
Right, right.
It could be contrary.
It can be anything.
You know?
It can be absolutely anything. So...
And I think the idea of formation, you know, you're really leading by example.
Right.
So that's less scary to parents who maybe don't feel like they have all the answers.
Exactly.
From the Catholic. I'm not an apologist. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. And being able to teach your kids about things like the Mass, like it's one thing to have an obligation to go to Mass. It's a different thing to learn, know, and understand all of the different pieces that go into the liturgy and what's actually happening during those different pieces. Another piece of that might be, you know, if we fail as parents or as humans, do we allow our kids to see us get back up? Are our kids going to reconciliation with us? Are we making that a regular habit in our life? What are we doing to help ourselves improve in holiness? And are we allowing our children to be a part of that as well?
Yeah. So living it and really being that example and, you know, like even one thing that I think of is, you know, if you get in an argument in your family, you know, like there's always going to be conflict, you know,
right.
Like being the adult and saying, you know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Will you forgive me? You know, modeling forgiveness.
Right.
I mean, in such a really simple way, some people are like, they go off in their room or whatever. All right. So what else?
I don't know what number I'm on now.
Okay.
But
whatever.
That's okay. you know, I think one thing that we often forget about is, you know, Mother Teresa said this. I'm going to put a little bit of a different spin on it, but she said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your families.
Yeah.
And I'll say, if you want your children to know the faith, love your spouse. And I think that's one of the greatest things that parents can do to instill the faith into their children is to love their spouse and allow their children to see them love their spouse.
Absolutely. And that takes so many forms. I mean, taking out the garbage, you know, just Jim's nodding his head. Do you have to take out the garbage, Jim?
Sometimes.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah,
in so many ways
sacrifice.
That's it.
And I mean, it's a huge piece to it. Another item that I have on my list is allow questions and like to be able to provide an environment where your kids can ask you questions about the faith and not just, you know, don't feel like you always have to have the answers to it right away. You have license to be able to say, I don't know. I'll find out for you. That's a great question. Let's figure out how to look it up together. And to be able to have that humility to say, I'm not sure the answer to that, but let's figure this out together. And that does two things. One, it says, yes, you can ask questions. You should ask questions. But two, this is how you can find information in an authentic way.
I mean, we all have questions. I mean, Jim, we've been lifelong Catholics, but there's always questions.
Absolutely.
So we're talking with Scott Williams. We're going to get some more information and some more tips on ways that parents can pass on the faith when we come back for more Faith in Action.
And maybe we'll get sacrilegious.
Yeah, we're going to get some of that too.
There we go.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station. And I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes. And I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. we are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Where do you go for reliable information on what's happening in the world? Where can you turn for rock-solid teaching backed by centuries of unchanging, undeniable truth? Look first to the Catholic Church, and then be sure to tune in right here to Catholic Radio Indy. We are your source for 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio with me, and we're also with our guest today, Sock. we're with a sock today. No.
The sock man.
The sock. We are with the sock man. Actually, we're with Scott Williams, and we're continuing talking about ways parents can pass on the faith from a veteran youth minister and youth director and youth supervisor and many, many youth things that you've done, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll talk about sacrilegious. That's the second part. So, so let's talk some more about passing on the faith.
Yeah. Another piece to it is allowing your children to see you give of yourself. So, and that's time, talent, and treasure. Making sure that family and tithing is a family activity. So being able to make sure that some part of service is a part of your regular routine as family. Making sure that I always think to myself, how are my kids going to know that it's a good thing to give our money? Like, because that's like not something mm-hmm. that we see anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like the collection plate comes by, but we do the direct deposit thing, or not direct deposit, but the
online giving or whatever. Yeah, yeah, I got
but,
it.
But how do we show our children that we do give and why that's important? And then the last thing I think that I would say is to authentically pray with your family.
What does that look like?
Well, so that, you know, that's one of the things that we've been really kind of praying and discerning, but
it might be different for every family and every age, you know, and stage in your life.
But to give you some examples, part of being in youth ministry, I get to talk with young people a lot, and I ask, how's your prayer life? And they say, good. And I say, tell me about it. Like, what's good,
good
about it? Tell me about how you're praying. I want to be able to share this with other people. And, far too often it's, we pray before meals and, during the announcements at school and, just really this kind of,
rogue
I'm not
prayers.
Saying like it's not good,
mm-hmm.
But it's not deep. It's not, and how do we like authentically pray for our young people for the needs that they have, the things that they have coming up in their lives? We recently started as there's a few awesome families within a mile of where we live, and we get together for dinner on Sundays, and we started implementing some prayer time as a part of that as well. And we kind of go around, we ask, what are the needs of the community? How can we pray for one another? And then being able to take the needs of our own families and the communities and the families in our communities, and making sure that is part of what prayer looks like as a family.
You know, the fact that you brought that up of authentic prayer. My daughter was goes to our one of the youth groups at our parish, and she said to me, "Mom, I really." It's so different when we pray mm-hmm. at she goes, I really, really love youth group. I'm like, what about it? And she goes, the prayer time. She goes, it's so different than what we do at school,
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. the circle, mm-hmm. authentic prayer, praying for our actual needs and just the worship time and all that. And I'm like, we need to do some more of that at home. Like, I think we've been doing that, but it's different when you're with your peers and that kind of an environment.
Right.
So
and maybe I misspoke. Maybe authentic isn't the right word.
No, I think that's, I don't know. That's, I like
deeper.
Yeah.
Deeper, yeah.
Well, not necessarily memorized prayers where it's more from the heart.
Spontaneous.
Yeah. Spontaneous. Good.
One thing we've had a couple of members of our family go through at critical times in their life is a retreat. And it's amazing the transformation that can happen at a retreat, from thinking, gee, I don't know, no, nobody, I guess I'm Catholic, but you know,
yeah.
I don't know what that means, and none of my friends are, and I don't need to be to when you go to a retreat and come out. How important would you think a retreat is?
Oh, I think it's crucial.
Would be a good age, do you think?
All of them.
Is your son going to go to a retreat? He's one, right?
Yeah. He'll go on a retreat with us.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, one of the things about retreat that I think it's really interesting is, and we hear things about like a retreat high and mm-hmm. like, you know, people go on a retreat, but then like, how do we bring it back? One of the beautiful things about going on a retreat is that when you go on that retreat, or if you go on that pilgrimage, you go away, mm-hmm. you give yourself permission to be the person that God created you to be and not what other people expect you to be.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. you go and you get away, you isolate yourself from whatever expectations people have, whatever masks you've been putting on, and you pull yourself in and like have that authentic conversation with the people around you where you don't feel judged, you don't feel intimidated. You're in a safe place where you can be the person that God called you to be. Mm. And to be able to have that for an extended period of time is transformational. So.
Absolutely.
And then if you can come home and do that, you know, that's right. even better. You know, like, here I am, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident in who God created me to be. So now my mask, I left my mask there.
And how do you create the environment at home? Like, how do you develop a home environment where you don't feel like you have to, you know, be like, you know, put up those masks in your own family? I don't know what the answer to that is.
But I was just going to say,
good question.
Well, let's think through that. Well, let's talk a little bit about your new venture that, or actually your kind of now your full-time venture. You mm-hmm. moved out of the, as the director for the Office of Youth Ministry for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Now you were doing SOC religious full-time.
Mm-hmm. That kind of started as a hobby almost originally?
Yeah. I'm almost a little bit of a joke. You know, I've always had a little bit of an entrepreneurial mind.
Always been a little off kilter.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, in all reality, and this is a fundamental issue that we face in the church as a whole, all across the country, is that we don't often pay ministry people like a wage that allows them to, you know, live to their fullest potential. And, mm-hmm. and I always knew that if I was going to be in ministry, that there would always have to be, you know, something else to help support, you know, the financial needs of a family. And, you know, I was totally okay with that. Did that for a long time. But this particular venture that we started, it started as something that, this would be fun. You know, maybe we can make a few bucks and have a good time doing it. And it's just grown and grown and grown since then. So
now we are talking about stockings, which everybody wears, that have religious figures, religious things.
Exactly.
Incorporated in them.
Yeah. Describe the socks.
Yeah. So the socks have a variety of different saints that you can support. So the way that it kind of all started was I was a kind of a sock guy myself, and I would try to match national holidays with the theme of the sock. So if it was, you know, those silly days like National Donut Day, I would try to figure out,
oh, that's hilarious.
Let's wear donut socks this day. Oh. Or if it's Memorial Day, I'll wear my American flag socks. And I thought, you know, us Catholics, we have lots of days to celebrate. We have lots of feast days.
Yeah.
What if we had socks with saints on them that we could celebrate their feast days during the year? And that's where the idea started. My wife and I were driving to Chicago, kind of kicking around this as a possibility, and by the time we came back, we were ready to
kind of
start this up. So that's where it came from.
So who was the first saint chosen for the honor of being on a sock?
Ironically enough, he's not a saint yet, but you know, it was a couple of months before the National Catholic Youth Conference, and we said, if this thing's going to have legs, no pun intended, that you know, Pope Francis would be a good indicator of whether or not you know, religious mm-hmm. items, people, images on socks mm-hmm. would be a hit. It, you know, it's popular with high school kids. It's popular with whatever. So why don't we go with Pope Francis? Try to match the two together. And we ended up selling about, I think it was a sock a minute. We sold out about 6 hours of showtime.
Wow.
And we said, okay, it looks like we have something here. What's next?
How about some Catholic radio socks?
Yeah, we can probably make that happen.
Is that logo too hard to do?
No.
So how many different saints and different people?
We have about, so we have 21 SKUs now. So a couple of those are like different sizes, but I think we have about 16 or 18 unique designs. So everything from, you know, St. Joseph for Father's Day, all the way to, we did some Lent socks this year with ash crosses on it.
Ah.
But it's, you know, it's what's funny is, you know, this started as kind of a fun idea. And we never thought that it would have kind of the spiritual implications that, that has come from it. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that tell us the conversations that have started just by, you know, having the socks on. It's absolutely, it's just been super humbling, mind blowing that, that's happened. I've always said that the most difficult, hurdle to evangelization is starting the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this kind of,
yeah, who's that on your socks?
Exactly.
Or like, what are those? Or who is that?
Right.
Before we run out of time, we do need to tell people where they can get, get the socks, where they can find out more about them.
Yeah. It's sockreligious.com. Or if you type in Catholic socks to Google, it'll probably show up.
Okay. So sock, S-O-C-K.
Yep.
Religious.
Correct.
.com. .com. All right. Yeah.
What's your favorite pair?
I would probably say Our Lady of Grace, which it's got a very bright blue and yellow pattern. And then there's a serpent on the bottom, so you can help Mary
stamp
on the on the head of the serpent.
So. On the bad guy.
Those sound like they actually could be even a fundraiser, maybe some group at a parish selling a sock that had something to do with their parish.
Yeah, we have a whole kind of like tab on our website for fundraisers. So it's been pretty successful. Like, you know, people, it's a unique gift, you know. I'm in a lot of, you know, we talked about youth ministry stuff before. I'm in a lot of Facebook groups and discussion boards. And you wouldn't believe the amount of times people are asking, hey, I want to get a gift for my seniors this year, but, you know, we don't need to get another rosary or t-shirt. So these are unique gifts for your favorite Catholic.
So if you could give that webpage one more time.
Sockreligious.com.
All right. Our guest today has been Scott Williams, founder of Sock Religious. Thanks so much and keep up the evangelization work.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.